Lord, would you breathe through Andrew? Would you speak through Andrew to us? Heavenly Father, we are unexpected of your word. So pour out your spirit into us right now. We thank you for Andrew. We pray for protection over him. We pray, Lord, that you will be able to speak to us as what you want us to tell us through Andrew. And we honor him in this time. And we said, all the glory belongs to you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Lonnie. Thank you, Sonia. All right, well, today we get to celebrate one of the most special days, Resurrection Sunday. In fact, our whole faith hinges on this, that our salvation comes when you believe that God raised him from death to life, declaring his lordship. But I thought before we start, let's just reenact the scene. And it's quite funny, when you look around at the weather today, this is the kind of morning I picture. It's a fresh spring morning. The flowers are starting to bud, and the flowers are coming out around the graves, around the gardens. The garden's looking beautiful. And let's read quickly. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, all the clues are there for us. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. I'm just trying to picture that scene. An angel sitting on a tombstone. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became dead, like dead men. The angel said to the woman, and this is God's word to us, do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to him, again, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will be. Isn't that an amazing experience? Eh? Can you imagine these women? There's another woman mentioned, Salome as well, but they were the first people to spread the gospel, these three women. Imagine how they must have walked to that tomb. They probably had the herbs, they were going off, they were downcast, they were sad, and all of a sudden, the ground shook. An angel appeared. And this is what grabs me. He is not here, he has risen, just as he had said. So when we believe the words of Jesus, what he says to us today, that's when we become alive. It's when we don't believe the words that we start to live in fear. But when we believe every word that he says over us, we live with faith and with life. So we've been journeying through types and shadows. We've looked at the Passover lamb. We've looked at Passover itself, which is on the 14th of Nisan. The Feast of Unleavened Bread would started on the 15th of Nisan, and today in that kind of calendar would have been the 16th of Nisan, and today they would have celebrated the Feast of First Fruits. Does anybody here know about First Fruits? Maybe you all know. I don't know if you know this, but in the harvest, there's a portion of the crop that ripens long before the rest. I have shared on this before, but I have a pepper jew tree. I grow pepper jews, and I love to pickle pepper jews. And you always see the one or two that ripen before the rest. And that is your first fruits. So we understand this, that Jesus rose on the day of first fruits. And we'll look at that now. But it was on the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. that Jesus rose. So currently right now, dawn in Israel is 5:40 a.m. and the sun rises at 5 minutes past six today in Israel. Somewhere between that time, we're not sure when exactly, but we know he rose around that time. I remember we delivered a yacht once from Rio to England, to the Finland. It was a 40-day delivery trip, and I offered to be the cook on the trip. And I used to get up early in the morning and make bread. And so I volunteered to do the last watch, which was from, let me get this right, it was from 6 to 9, 9 till 12, and then 12 to 3. I did the 3 o'clock to the 6 o'clock watch. That's the one I volunteered to be on. And it was amazing when you're sailing in the ocean at night and slowly it gets lighter and lighter. There's something special about the dawn. I wish I was one of those people, and I know Zolani, you are one of them. You can wake up like at 4 in the morning and you're wide awake. I wake up, I need to get delivered, set free, born again, all of those things, grumpy. My kids know, don't tickle dad's feet when he's half asleep in bed. I've never been one of those who wakes up fresh. But it's a lovely time of the morning, and Jesus rose on that day. So what was happening on that day? In Israel right then, the barley harvest was starting to ripen. It's the first of the harvest. We see that wonderfully in the book of Ruth, where Ruth is gleaning behind, getting the barley harvest, and later we see the wheat harvest. And we understand that on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days later, that is when the wheat harvest is starting to come forth. We understand as well with barley is that a young boy came to Jesus with a few barley loaves, and Jesus multiplied those barley loaves and fed 5,000. There's something about barley. Barley, in fact, was considered to be the inferior crop, that wheat was the superior one and barley was the weaker one, and often the poor would eat barley. And you just think of Jesus, how he came for the lonely, the poor, the brokenhearted. And we see how Jesus comes to life during the barley harvest. But let's have a look at the first fruits. What would Israel do on the day of first fruits? What they typically would have done is as the barley harvest was ripening, as they looked out on the field, they saw the parts that were ripening first, they would gather them into a sheaf. Then they would go before the high priest and grab a sheaf and wave it up as a wave offering in the temple before the priest. Now, if you understand this, there was another man who was held up. And he was held up on a cross. And Jesus became our first fruit. And because of that, we'll see now, because of that, the whole barley harvest then becomes holy. By offering the first fruits and waving it before the Lord. And it wasn't just the first fruit, it was the best of the first fruits. It wasn't, oh, we can't eat that, let's take that to the temple. This is the best there is. Jesus was God's best. He has waved up before the Lord. And this is a mystery that's being unlocked in understanding first fruits. Let's look at Romans 11, verse 16. Thanks, Caps. If part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So Jesus, we understand this, was the Holy One, held up, raised up, that we too can come and become righteous with him. Colossians 1:20 says it so wonderfully. If we could have that up, please. But Christ has indeed been raised from dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ we all made alive. And so we see, just as that fruit ripens before all the rest, Jesus is the first fruit. In fact, there was a group of them, weren't there? Because when Jesus died on the cross, the ground shook. And the righteous men or who had died previously came back to life. Isn't that amazing? It was a foretaste of what was going to come, but the power was so strong that those in the vicinity in the grave were suddenly brought back to life. It was a future reality that we'll experience one day, but the power was so strong that moment that bodies in the vicinity came to life. I could just imagine the picture of that. Imagine seeing a loved one who died 100 years ago walking around the city with you. And so we see this type and shadow that just as we see with first fruits, we see Jesus as a first fruit. But there's something significant that happened. Let's go back to the cross. What happened when Jesus died on the cross? What kind of things come to mind that happened when Jesus died on the cross? We know there was an earthquake. We know dead bodies came out of the grave. But there was a curtain in the temple. And I love the fact that it was torn from top to bottom. As someone said, it was like God was coming out. Have you seen those cowboy movies when they come into a saloon and they hit the doors and the cowboy is there standing? It was like God was coming out. I want to be with the people now. I'm no longer going to be hidden by a curtain. And if you understand the culture or the understanding of God is that only once a year could a high priest come in for one day behind that curtain, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where blood was poured on the mercy seat there that day. That was the only time they were allowed. Now, I was imagining what the priests must have gone through when they saw that curtain tore. Did they quickly run and find needles, let's stitch it up? Or do they think, what just happened? What caused that? And here's a key we see in the book of John. And Jesus says in John 20:17, Jesus said to Mary, and this is John's depiction of the cross, Jesus has now appeared to Mary. It's funny though, that Mary doesn't recognize him until he says, Mary. There's something where God knows us by name and we find favor in his sight. I have a friend, George, and he was in Alaska and God called him back to South Africa. And one day, him and I used to minister together in the same church. One day he's walking around his lounge thinking, God, have I done the right thing? I brought my whole family out from Alaska. I'm here in South Africa. Things aren't working the way I expected. And all that fear and all that stuff comes back. And in his prancing up and down, suddenly just heard the name George. Just his name. And it shifted everything inside him. And he ended up pastoring that church powerfully for about 15 years in the city where God had called him. So Jesus says to Mary, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Isn't it one of the most powerful things? My Father, who's effectively saying, who's now your Father, my God, who's your God. But there's something incredible that happened, and some of you may have heard this before, and I find it so powerful. And I want to read from Hebrews chapter 9, 24 to 26, or 25 to 26. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands. And they're talking about the sanctuary that Moses built that then became the first temple and then became the second temple under Herod. That was a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Isn't that powerful? With blood that's not his own. In other words, it cost him nothing. It cost Jesus everything. Otherwise, Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once and for all at the culmination of the ages today to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. And we see another shadow here, the tabernacle, the temple. And we see how Jesus is the temple. Or rather, he is the offering, and he goes to the true temple, the heavenly one. In fact, God was so explicit to Moses on how to build this temple that he gave him right down to the millimeter. Not only that, but he anointed certain people who were able to construct the temple so that it'll be exact mirror image of what's in heaven. And so when we read in John 1:14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We would miss it if we didn't understand that the word dwelling was the word tabernacle. So the word became flesh and Jesus became the temple. and walked among us. And just as God was in the Holy of Holies, so was God in Christ. So that when a man with a demonic demon inside him came anywhere near Jesus, that demon could not stand to be there and would manifest and say, throw me into the pigs rather than be in your presence. When the sick were sick, when they were touched by them, were instantly healed. Those who were unclean became clean by him because he was the tabernacle. He was the shadow. And so we understand this. When Jesus said to Mary, don't touch me, he was a perfect sacrifice. He went into heaven and he poured his blood, not someone else's, his own blood on the mercy seat. And once and for all, he paid the price for sin. That never again will anything have to die for sin, that we are perfect. And then he came back and said, now touch me. Thomas, yeah, put your hands here. You can see it's me. I'm resurrected. And so we see wonderfully another shadow taking place where Jesus becomes the temple. But the wonderful mystery is this. And I want to talk about mysteries. And I got my poiky pot here. Or rather, we used to have this poiky pot for the winners of the poiky challenge. And here is, in the Old Testament, is the poiky with everything inside it. And they used to look at it, they used to do everything. But in the New Testament, we get to see inside. Have you ever been to someone who's cooking a poiky and you just want to open the lid to see what's inside? It's been opened to us now. The mystery has been revealed. And this is the mystery. Are you ready? Colossians 1, 26, 27. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages has been kept hidden. And for ages and generations, but is now disclosed in the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, a hope of glory. So the incredible mystery is this, is that God is actually now in us. We are that temple. Just as God was in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, he is now inside you. Just as he was in Christ. So when we wake up in the morning and we feel like we're having a bad day or things aren't going the way we expected, know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. I remember the first time I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the most incredible experience. And it's something, as Lon, you've reminded us, we can't go back to this coming unexpected. We have to be expectant. When the Holy Spirit first came, gets poured into you, it's like a jolt of electricity. The breaker is not designed for what's coming in. In fact, we'll look at that when we come to the Feast of Pentecost. We get the first fruits of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we actually get to be like Jesus. And I'm using the word we, because we spoke about it in our men's group. Thomas shared wonderfully in our men's group. We are like Christ. We collectively together are the body of Christ. And when his power is made present, we'll see those things happen that break open, unlock. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the power of the Spirit, there's no more guilt. Anything you've done in the past, the guilt is gone. Because we can feel forgiven, but we sit with guilt. But when you come to Christ, the guilt has gone. Don't you sense it? I sense it. There's a shift taking place. There's something about to break out in our midst. There's something when we align ourselves with God and we, by faith, believe, something gets let loose. And I want to pray that over us as a church today, that we are going to see the first fruits of change that's going to happen here. I'd like to say they're going to talk about what took place here one day. Because we are a man and a woman of faith. And so when you look at these types and shadows, they reveal Jesus, but that same Jesus lives in you and I today. And so Paul prays this prayer, and he says, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And revelation means to reveal, to open up, to have a look in the pot. To reveal what? I pray that you may know him better, know the hope that you have in him, and to know his incomparably great power that's at work in your life for us who believe. That same power that raised a corpse that was dead back to life and seated him at the right hand of majesty. That same power resides in us who believe. And if you believe that today, you will live a naturally supernatural life. One of our values is passionate spirituality. And we're hungering to see that. So if you're in faith with me today, can I ask you to open your hearts today and know that Christ right now is living inside you. You are the temple of God. In fact, I'm quite curious to see what's going to happen in Israel over the many years to come, because there's talk of building the temple. But we know he dwells not in temples made by human hands. He dwells in temples where his spirit has been poured in. So let's just have a time now of reflection as we looked at Passover, as we looked at the feast of our unleavened bread, first fruits. Father, I ask today, Lord, that you would cause there to be an awakening. Thank you, Lord, that we are your temple. Not by anything we can boast about, but because of your blood. And Father, I pray and ask this morning, Lord, that you fill the temple. Just like in the times of Solomon, when smoke filled the temple, people were unable to work. Your presence was so strong, Lord. We're asking for that, Lord, to fill us afresh, your church, that we are you, Jesus, on earth, your body. And I pray there's anyone here today, Lord, who does not know you, Lord, has never encountered you or experienced that freedom that comes from knowing you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you open the eyes of their heart, that they too will know you better, know the hope they have, and experience your power at work in their lives, Lord, the resurrection power, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we leave here today, Lord, we will not be the same, Father. Renew our minds, Lord, to know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives, Lord. And Father, we will be your church, a light on a hill, a city on a hill, Father, a light on a stand, Father, for the world to see just how awesome, how majestic you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.